best lifestyle to live is in the Vedic literature. Somehow, because people of India, they deviated from their Vedic culture, Vedic traditions, not only today. It's not that today only, suddenly, last 100 years, people of India deviated from Vedic culture. It's not like that. People of India, thousands of back, this journey started. Not today. Not due to the advent of science and technology, but it was due to the advent of Kali Yuga, the age of Kali. The pure Vedic knowledge was contaminated by so many misinterpreters. People misinterpreted the Vedic knowledge and they tried to use the Vedic knowledge for their personal purpose, personal benefit. And that's how it got degraded. And it was started by Brahmana class, top class of the society, which was considered the genuine guide to the society. They become corrupted and they started misusing this Vedic knowledge for their personal motive. They made this caste system so strict, which was not usually originally in the Vedic culture. The concept of varna and ashram was very different from what we see today. Today we see completely perverted varna system, which was not actually originally. Varnas were divided on qualities and karma. But gradually as Kali Yuga progressed, then we'll discuss more. So Brahmanas became selfish. The Vedic knowledge was there, you know, under them. So what they started to do, once their consciousness were degraded, they started misusing this Vedic knowledge. So what they did, they said, we are the superior and everybody should bow down to us. And anybody who takes birth in Brahmana family, he is a Brahman. And anybody who takes birth in low family, they are low. Which is completely not true. According to Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, the chatur varna maya srishtah guna karma vibhagasa. The four classes, caste system, is established by me. But how? What is the basis? According to guna and karma. Not according to Janma. If somebody has taken birth in the family of Sudra, but if he has the quality of Brahman, he should be considered a Brahman. According to Vedic, original pure Vedic culture. And if somebody has taken birth in the family of Brahman, but if he is acting like Sudra, his karma and his guna is like Sudra, so he should be considered Sudra. It's not based on birth, but it's based on qualities and activities. It was decided here. So, it got perverted because people saw that many Brahmanas that took birth, they were not trained properly in Brahminical culture. So they did not have the qualities for Brahminical qualities in their character. So because they didn't have Brahminical qualities, so they were not qualified to become Brahman. So therefore they saw that people will not
give us respect because we don't have quality. So they started changing, bringing change in the Vedic literature, giving wrong understanding. No, according to Vedas, anybody who has taken birth in Brahma, he is Brahman. They changed the meaning of Vedic literature. They misinterpreted the Vedas. And they said, no. So on the large scale there were sacrifices of animal and all these things, which is not the Vedic culture. Animal Bali Pratha and all these things is not actually recommended in Veda in large scale. It is only for exceptional cases. But what was happening that on the mass scale there was cutting of the animals and all misuse of Vedic literature. Therefore the deviation took place. First deviation was Buddha. Lord Buddha appeared himself as Buddha to stop the misuse of Vedic literature, to stop the animal killing. That's why Lord Buddha's teaching is Ahimsa Paramo Dharma, as you all know. So that is the first deviation. And then, because whenever, it doesn't matter, even if it is Vedic culture, if somebody misuses it, then Lord is not bound to, you know, follow, appear in Brahmana family or in Vedic culture or Hindu. It's not some particular religion or some particular caste. The Supreme is beyond religion and caste. So he appeared and then he taught that don't misuse the Vedas. And those who are misusing Vedas, because the Brahmanas are misusing Vedas, he said, do not follow Vedas. Why? It's better than to misuse it, to not to follow. And he said, you follow me. You follow? So then, in one sense, the Lord stopped the animal killing. Because he was, animals are the children of God. The Brahmana were not understanding this. No? So therefore, Lord told that do not follow such people who are misguiding the society. And then from there, like degradation took place, and then like further this caste system became more rigid, more rigid, more rigid. Even like this Sati Pratha, it was not like what we saw. The Sati Pratha was a different concept. Like in Vedic culture, the wife is to have so much love for the husband that they would not like, you know, they would not like to leave after the husband departs. That's so much attachment, affection. So Sati Pratha was not for everyone. Like you say, it was not compulsory in Vedic culture for everyone. Like you see, when Pandu died, you know Mahabharata? When Pandu died, Pandu had two wives, Kunti and Madri. So when Pandu left the body, Madri became Sati. But Kunti did not become Sati. You understand? Means that it was not rigid. It was not forced, imposed. But later on it became imposition. So this, you see how the principles of Sati Pratha is not wrong, not wrong. But it was misapplied. So if wife doesn't have that much attachment to the husband, then she should not become Sati according to the principle. If wife doesn't have that much love for the husband, then she is not recommended for Sati Pratha. Because she'll, it's not natural for her. But if wife has that much affection, that she feels that my life is waste, how will I live without my husband? But that kind of relationship existed in Vedic culture. Today it is, you know, artificial relationship. I love you, I love you. and tomorrow I divorce you. It was not like that earlier. We are talking the ancient Vedic culture, not perverted Vedic culture. The love was based on pure relationship. It was not sexual relation between husband and wife in Vedic culture. Sex was just for to begot children. When we, today we think marriage means sex. It's not like that. In Vedic culture it was never like that. You'll never see that people are marrying only for the sex purpose. You will see Vedic culture people before marriage, they will do tapasya. They will go to the forest and they will do tapasya. And then, why? To get a good wife. Good, not beautiful, but good in qualities. So that they can generate beautiful and virtuous children who will protect the earth. This depends on the consciousness of father and mother, what kind of children are going to take birth. If father and mother consciousness is polluted, the child's consciousness also gets polluted at the time of conception. So therefore they have to purify the heart before they enter into the marriage, so they can produce the children who would protect the religion on the earth. That is the principle. Otherwise, why one should go to tapasya for marriage? Kardamuni perform tapasya. It's even Bhagavatam says, if Kardamuni performed many years of meditation tapasya, so that he can get a wife, and then he produced a son who was the Supreme Lord himself. Manu and Satrupa went to do tapasya, you all know, for what purpose? So the Supreme Lord himself should take birth and protect the religion. And yes. Today, children take birth by accident. For sexual indulgement, kya kar sakte hai? Majburi hai. Bachcha paida karna hai. Agar tarika mil jaye ki bachcha nahi paida kare, to nahi karenge. Just like they have developed this contraceptive method. So today, you see, people are not having children. Ek do naam ke liye rakh lete hain. And many mothers are doing abortions, killing their babies in the womb. What kind of mother we are producing? Every day 1,70,000 abortions every day throughout the world. Is it that the child who is in the womb, is it that he is not a baby? He's a baby. He's a future child. So this is perverted understanding of marriage. But in Vedic culture it was different culture. Different time, different system and different culture. Different period, different lifestyle. Completely different from what we see today. Therefore, those things which we see in Vedic culture, it appears fairy tale to us. That is a different time, today is a different time. Like 500 years back. Even 500 years back, there are so many things. What was impossible that time, today it is possible, isn't it? There are many things. People never thought that, you know, we will fly in the air 500 years back. But today, that was impossible, today it is possible. People never thought that I will be sitting in Delhi University and I will watch match which is happening in Australia. Had they ever imagined? That the time, 500 years back, it was impossible. But today it is possible. So according to time, situation changes. And what is possible today was impossible, and what some of the things which appears for us it is impossible today, that was quite possible in ancient times in Vedic culture. Yes. Even today, there are many things. There are some remains of Vedic culture, Vedic knowledge. You find in some very corner of India, still living where the miracles are happening in the country. That also will get lost as Kali Yuga will progress. Like astrology, it's a powerful tool. You won't believe because you have not gone through. But the experience of the people says that there is a book called Bhrigu Samhita. Exactly, it can tell you everything about your detail. One of my friends, he was a scientist in DRDO. We graduated together from our college. He was electrical engineer, I was civil engineer. So he was in his tour to South India. So he went to a temple first time. He is from North India. He never went to South India. There was a temple in South India. Anybody here from South India? No one. The name is Kumbakonam. There is a place, Kumbakonam. That is the place where Raghu Rishi used to stay and compile all this literature. So he went there and he saw an astrologer there. He was telling this, narrating this point to me, this incident to me, hardly 6 months back. He came to Delhi and he was writing, narrating. Now he's in Delhi, DRDO. So he was saying that he went there and then that astrologer said, please come. I knew that you will come today. I knew that you will come today. And then he gave a bunch of papers him to read. And he said, now I'll tell you about you. This fellow was a scientist, he never had imagined that such thing, incidents will happen. And he said, your name is this. And then you are this, you are this. Your guru name, you got initiation, Diksha. Your guru name is this. And this year you got Diksha. He taught it. And not only this one experience, there are many people that they have such experiences. But for us, it is fairy tale. How one can predict one's future? Scientifically, you can prove? Can you prove this? Anybody can prove scientifically? That how one can know somebody can know my future tomorrow? What even happens? Scientifically, can anybody prove? Can't prove. So this is a higher dimensional science. You understand my point? This is higher dimensional science, which was known to the Vedic people. Today it is impossible. But that was quite possible. Very normal. It was common to, predict the future was common earlier in Vedic culture. But today it is impossible. Similarly, there are many such techniques. It was earlier considered impossible, like this. You know this, they used to calculate this solar and lunar eclipse in Vedic calendar, isn't it? Now, how they didn't have these astronomical instruments and all these calculations, how they would calculate the solar and lunar eclipse? And they can tell, when the solar and lunar, even 25 years, after 25 years, which day there will be solar and lunar eclipse, exactly they can tell. Vedic calendar. They knew that how many planets are there. They didn't have the telescope and all these methods, instruments. How did they know? Without science and technology? There was science and technology, very high class of science and technology. Mathematics. Mathematics, high level of mathematics was there. The number system which we use, modern scientific number system, it goes to the maximum 10 to the power 12 or 16, we have named. In Vedic culture, they used to count 10 to the power 52 number, Sankh, Mahasankh, Padma. is number system. Number system is invented through Vedic literature, not by Westerners, it was Indians. They invented mathematics, number system. It is from Vedas. Magical science is coming from Vedas. Sare Gama Pathanis. This is from Samved. Science of music. Medicine. Science of medicine, Ayurveda. Even today, you can use. Isn't it? Is it mythology? Swami Ramdevaji is curing hundreds and thousands of people. He has become world's one of the richest person by using Ayurveda, Yoga and Pranayama. Is it mythology? It's not mythology. It's a science. But the people earlier, they used to live these lives. But then as Kali Yuga progressed, there were degradation. Caste system became very rigid. Caste system was earlier based on service attitude. Each caste is to serve each other, like Brahmana is to serve Kshatriyas, Kshatriyas is to serve Brahmanas. Who are Brahmanas? Brahmana was the topmost class, isn't it? They were the highest class, but what they were doing when they were highest, they were considered highest. Why they were considered highest? They used to live in hut. And they will not have any property. They will live by begging. Now can you imagine? The highest class is living by begging. Begging. Bhik mang. Bhiksha mein jo milta tha usse jeevan. That's why it was highest. It's not that sabka property apne naam pe kar lo or become highest in the society. No. It was based on character. Vidya Vinay Sampane Brahmani Gavi Hastini Suni Chaiva Sopakecha Pandita Samadarsina. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, who is Pandit? Well, then Pandit ji thoda apna mera haath dekhi. That is not Pandit. Pandit ke jo definition diya gaya hai, wo ye hai ki Bhagavad Gita mein bataya gaya hai, Bhagavan Krishna bata rahe ki Vidya Vinay Sampane. The one who is actually learned, Vidya, is filled with knowledge. What he does, what is exactly, how he sees the world? He says, Brahmani means Brahman, Gavi means Gai, Hastini means Hathi, Suni means dog, and Sopak. Sopak means the one who eats dog, Chandal. So these five, how he sees them? Pandita Samadarsina, they see equal. They don't see difference. They are Pandit. They are actual Brahman. They don't see difference. Either he is Chandal or he is Brahman. Whether he is dog or elephant, he sees equally everyone. Right? Where he sees the soul within. And soul doesn't have caste and soul doesn't have a body, different body like this. So that's why he could love everyone equally. That is Pandit actually. That was the standard. But later on what it became? So it was based on service and love. But later it became based on hatred and exploitation. So Brahmana started exploiting. So then lower caste started rebelling. And then it became Hojpur. Kshatriya were disobeying. They were not being guided by pure Brahmanas. Like you know, even till the time of Chanakya. Chanakya was a very qualified Brahman. Hardly few Brahmins like Chanakya were there at that time. What Chanakya did alone, single-handedly, he structured India through Chandragupta. He trained Chandragupta. And after Chandragupta became the king, he offered Chanakya, please come and reside in my palace. I will make a beautiful palace for you. So what did Chanakya say? No. I am a Brahman. I can't live in palace. And he went back to his hut. That is teacher. Teacher doesn't need big facilities. Teacher teaches by his example. and how to live a life of purity. It doesn't depend on anyone. Because if teacher depends on somebody, he can't speak truth. You understand? Like Dronacharya. He was a teacher who was dependent on Duryodhana, his wealth, for his maintenance. Therefore, he has to fight from the side of Adharma. So the teacher, so this is how the teachership got degraded. Similarly, the doctor profession. In Vedic culture, education was free of cost. Basic necessities of life were given free of cost. Education was free of cost. Teacher will not take salary. Even a single penny. Because teachers were Brahmanas, they used to live by baking. So whatever they will bake, they will live by that much. That's all. And they didn't have much ambitious plans for, you know. So if teacher is greedy, then what he is going to teach the students? And similarly, doctor, a medical facility. Medical service was provided free of cost. The doctors will not take even a single penny. They are called Vaidya. You know this, when Hanumanji went to Susen Vaidya, as the Vaidya of Ravana. He said, you come and cure the Lakshman. So there, Susen rejected. He said, no, I can't go. He is my enemy. My king will kill me. So then, Hanumanji told him the dharma of doctor, as per Vedic culture. That doctor doesn't see enemy and friend. Anybody who has come for treatment, he has to cure. Otherwise, he will be punished by God. So people used to understand from that point of view, from God's point of view, not government point of view. Government mujhe punish karegi. Nahin. God. So then, Susen accepted, okay. So this is dharma. No penny, either anybody who is needy, he will give you the facility. That was the dharma. Can you understand that such a pure principle was based? So for basic necessity, you don't have to struggle hard to get money so they can fulfill their basic necessities. And then, so how this got degraded as Kali Yuga progressed? And then, because Vedic culture got degraded, Brahmana became weak. So therefore, Kshatriyas became weak. If Brahmanas are weak, then the Kshatriya will become weak. And when Kshatriya becomes weak, he can't protect the religion. Kshatriyas means he, the people, administrative class who protects the religion, dharma. There should not be any irreligion in the society. They maintain, make sure. So when Kshatriyas became weak, rather than protect the religion, they started fighting with each other. Rather than helping each other, coming together and making one whole concept of a religion, they became fighting with each other. And that's how the entire earth, which was once upon a time was called Bharatvarsha, it was one, it was not different countries earlier. Earlier, according to Vedic literature, the Maharaj Yudhishthira was the king of seven islands and throughout the whole earth, not the king of only Bharatvarsha. Bharatvarsha, what we see, is not Bharatvarsha, Bharat. Not Bharat, what you see in your map. This Bharat is, what you see is changing every day. At the time of independence, if you see Bharat is geographical boundary, you are wrong. Bharat is not geographical. It's a principle. It's a principle. Geographical boundary changes every year. And at the time of independence, if you take the geographical boundary, then Bharat is changing every day. By the time of independence, Pakistan and Bangladesh were part of Bharat. So you see that gradually as time is progressing, the India is splitting, isn't it? So earlier, even Afghanistan was the part of India. Yes. Shakuni was the king of Gandhar. Afghanistan was part of India till 1000 AD. And Mahmud Ghazni attacked in that time of Afghanistan was ruled by the purely Hindu population. No Muslim, even single Muslim was not there. But then they attacked, and then the first, they killed the entire population. Entire Hindu population was killed. That's why there's a mountain called Hindu Kush. Hindu Kush ka naam suna aapne? Kush ka matlab kya hota hai? Urdu mein? Karna khud kushi. Matlab khud ko maar dalna, hatya. To Kush ka Hindu Kush naam pada Hindu ki hatya hui, isliye iska naam dala gaya Hindu Kush. अब बताया कि वहां पे जितने थाउजेंड्स ऑफ हिंदू वर किल्ड ऑन दैट माउंटेन इन अफगानिस्तान एंड देन लाइक दैट देन फिलीपींस एंड ऑल इंडोनेशिया इंडोनेशिया वॉज अ पार्ट ऑफ इंडिया उसका नेशनल मार्क आज भी गरुड़ है गरुड़ जी गरुड़ हुई गरुड़ ऑल द टूडे इंडोनेशिया इज ए मुस्लिम कंट्री मेजोरिटी पॉपुलेशन इज मुस्लिम बट गरुड़ इज द कैरियर ऑफ लॉर्ड विष्णु And then all these countries which got, you
Singapore
know.
Singapore is actually Singapur.
Yes. Yes. So got separated gradually as time progressed because the Kshatriyas were not able to hold the unity because they lost the power strength. And then these Malichhas and Yavanas, they took over the India. Because whenever there is decline of principle, will not follow, they will be punished. That. And of course, Kali Yuga was progressing. So that's how degradation took place, and then Muslims came and they attacked India from that side. And then they plundered. Islam religion is very new religion, it's not like very old. Ancient, the oldest religion is Hindu religion, Sanatana Dharma. Actually, it is not Hindu. Hindu is not the, you will not find this Hindu word anywhere in the Vedic literature. So, Hindu shabd nahi use hai. Aap padhiye pura Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam, you will padhiye. Kahin pe Hindu naam ka shabd nahi hai. Hindu word came later. Earlier it was called Sanatana Dharma. Or Varnasram Dharma, you can say. Vedic Dharma. So, as time was progressing, these things entered into the society. Muslims attacked, and according to the Muslim writers, because whenever the Muslim would attack, they had some writers, authors with them. Just Ibn Battuta, you know, Abul Fajl, all these, you know, they would write what they are doing. The kings, what are they doing? So according to their writings, there's so much atrocities performed on India. Like, they say that from between 1000 AD to 1500 AD, one historian has calculated, in 1000 AD to 1500 AD, almost around 8 crore Hindus were killed. And Somnath temple was destroyed 5 times. The temple in Mathura, the Keshavdev temple, and the Janmabhoomi Mandir, it was destroyed 5 times. 5 times it was built, and 5 times it was destroyed. Mahmud Ghazni attacked the Mathura, he has written by his own hand in the book, that continuous 7 days the destruction was going on in Mathura. And many temples were destroyed. And he writes there are 5 big temples in that, there are 5 big deities of the Lord. And these deities were made of gold. And they took all this. They destroyed the temples, they took all this. And then they said that in many places, in one day, at one place, in one day, 1 lakh people were killed, making them stand in a row in Thanesar, Maharashtra. Why? Because one Muslim soldier, he raped a Hindu girl. So the Hindu people became very angry and they beaten him. Usko pitai kar di sabne milke. And then this Mahmud Ghazni became so angry and he said he killed the entire city. And they used to, what they used to do? They would conquer and then jitni striya hai sabko bandi bana ke, and they used to take them to Ghazni and their countries, Arabian countries. And what they would do with them? They would sell them on the shops. Just like you sell goods on the shop. It's written. It's not that I'm selling. It's written by them only. They only have written. How they dealt with the people in India. How it could happen? Because only one reason. The religion declined. Whenever people will not follow the religion, they have to face the consequences. Today also, you'll see, very soon, in the 40-50 years, if people of India will not restore their Sanatana Dharma, another 40-50 years you'll see there will be a large destruction in the country. We have proper reason for that. So the whole idea is that whenever there is decline in religion, we have to suffer consequences. And then it was almost the Sanatana Dharma was about to wiped out from the surface of the globe. People are so fearful to practice Sanatana Dharma. Because deities were destroyed and deities were not reciprocating. Deities are not, because deities are considered Lord, God. And God is not able to protect himself. So people's faith were destroyed in the Vedic culture. But it is Kali Yuga. In Kali Yuga, Lord will not manifest from deity. That is written in Vedic literature. He will not do anything through deity. He will receive your prayers, but he will not act through the deity. That is written in Vedic literature. But then, it was such a situation that people were converting very fast into Muslims. And that's why today, whatever Muslim you see in India, they're not original Muslim. They're all converted. All converted Muslims. They're Hindus actually. So then what happened, that gradually, that time, it was the 15th century, when Sanatana Dharma was on deep decline. That time, at the right moment, it was about to finish. The divine personalities appeared on the surface of India. And they performed the miracular acts. Like Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In 1486, he appeared. And then, it is said that when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was going, there was a magistrate, Chandra Kaji, who was the king of the Mayapur, West Bengal. So he tried to stop his Sankirtan movement. And then Lord Narasimha Dev appeared in his, when he was sleeping. And he tried to split his chest. And Lord warned him that next time if you do it again, I will kill entire Muslim population from India. When Chand Kaji got up and Lord Chaitanya went to him and he said, why you are stopping our Sankirtan? Why earlier you used to stop my Sankirtan and why you are not doing now? So Chand Kaji said, it is written. Chand Kaji said that no, I saw a fierce form in the night I was sleeping. Please forgive me, I did a great mistake. And that day he announced that nobody should stop the Sankirtan movement from now on. So even today if you go to that place, Nadip, this is Nadip town in Nadia, You go there, there is a samadhi of Chandkaji today also. And the Muslim descendants of Chandkaji are still living. And there it is written, he became a devotee. It is in Bhakta Chandkaji. Aaj bhi likha hua hai. Today also. It is written, Bhakta Chandkaji. He is a Muslim. And then, such personalities, they, by the divine miracular powers, they restored Guru Nanak and so many various powerful personalities appeared, like Tulsidas, Surdas, Mirabai, and all these personalities, they were very, very miraculous. By the power, they will transform the heart of the king. They are so powerful. So that's how they could protect the Sanatana Dharma. And then people, many Muslims again started practicing Sanatana Dharma. Like Rahim and Raz Khan and all these Muslims. They are Muslims converted. But they started practicing again Sanatana Dharma. And Sanatana Dharma was restored. Then the next turbulence came as Britishers. The Britishers, they did not directly cut the Hindus. They did not physically attack India. Assam. They attacked intellectual attack. And that is the reason why India today, it's not because of Muslims. It is because of Britishers. When they attacked India, not by sword, but by weapon of pain. They changed our intellect. They changed our intellect, not the religion. They made intellectual slavery. Understand? Intellectual slavery. I'll show you the. Show you the whole detail because it's a big supply PowerPoint, but few slides I'll show you. You know the Macaulay? Yes, he's a Lord Macaulay. I'll show you some of his letters. You can read this. They were called pioneer of education, modern education in India. But what was their intention behind? You can see here. In a letter to his father in 1836, Macaulay exclaimed, "It is my belief that if our plans of education are followed up, there will not be a single idolater among the respectable classes in Bengal 30 years hence. And this will be effected without any efforts to proselytize, without the smallest interference with the religious liberty, by natural operation of knowledge and reflection. And I heartily rejoice in this project." Bada maja aa raha hai mujhe. And then, in another words, Lord Macaulay believed that by knowledge and reflection, the Hindus would turn their back upon the religion of their forefathers and take up Christianity. In order to do this, he planned to use the strength of the educated Indians against them by using their scholarship to uproot their own traditions. Or in his own words, he writes, "Indian in blood and color, but English in taste, in opinion, in morals and in intellect." He firmly believed that no Hindu who has received an English education ever remains sincerely attached to his religion. If you have attained English education, he made such a propaganda that you can't remain sincerely attached to your religion. You will develop doubt. It was structured in such a way. And that what is the situation. To further this end, Macaulay wanted a competent scholar. He could not do himself, so he needs the help. So he wanted a scholar who could interpret the Vedic scriptures in such a manner that the newly educated Indian youth would see how barbaric their native superstitions actually were, Macaulay finally found such a scholar in Friedrich Max Müller. You would have heard about Max Müller. Max Müller, he has never come to India, you know. Max Müller was never in India, even for a single day he was not in. He was sitting in Germany. And he was writing volumes of books on Vedic literature. You see? And he was giving the what is Vedic literature. And we today in our philosophy discussion, we are reading his books. A person who never visited India, he never has seen India, and his books we are studying, he is giving comment, what are Vedas, how to see Vedas. And most of the deviations, these theories, like Arvian inversion theory and all these, were given by this Max Müller. And then Max Müller, which they said Saint Max Müller, he is known as in India, isn't he? Actually, he is not saint. He was appointed especially, he was paid for this. He learned Sanskrit, he was expert in Sanskrit, he learned Sanskrit just to change the Vedic literature, their meanings, misinterpret. So Friedrich Max Müller was born in Dessau and educated in Lipik, where he learned Sanskrit and translated the Hitopadesa of Pandit Vishnu Sharma before coming to England in 1846. Since he was penniless, he didn't have money. So he was cared for by Baron von Bunsen, the Persian ambassador to England, who basked in the childishly pleasant thought of converting the whole world to Christianity. So this person who was maintaining him, who was caring him, his desire was that he wanted the whole world to become Christian. So it was in London that Max Müller met Macaulay, who was still on the lookout for his right man. First commissioned by East India Company to translate the Rig Veda into English. The company agreed to pay the young Max Müller 4 shillings for each page that was ready to print. And he later moved to Oxford where he translated a number of books on Eastern religion. So he was paid to write the, translate the Rig Veda. East India Company was paying Max Müller. Why? Why East India Company is so much concerned about translating Rig Veda? If it is mythology? His magnum opus was his series, The Sacred Books of the East, a 50-volume work. 50 kitabe usne likhi. Sacred Books of East, which he began editing in 1875. It goes without saying that by the end of his career, Müller had amassed a comfortable sum of money. Bahut paisa kamaya usne likh ke. And it is surprised that the man who has Bhagwan's named after him all over India, uska naam diya Bhagwan, Bhagwan Max Müller bola jata India usko, and is treated with so much veneration there, probably did the most damage to uproot Vedic culture. At the time of his death, he was venerated by none other than Lokmanya Tilak as Ved Maharshi Moksha Mool Bhatt of Gotirtha. Bataiye. The person who never visited India, usko Ved Maharshi bola ja raha hai. Now let us understand Max Müller. What? Although Müller is on record as extolling India's ancient wisdom, his letters, fortunately uske sare letters abhi bhi rakhe hue hain. और लेटर्स में पता चलता है कि वो क्या उसका मोटिव था. प्रिंटेड इन 2 volumes टेल एन इंटायरली डिफरेंट स्टोरी. सेज हिस्ट्री सीम्स टू टीच हिज राइटिंग दैट द होल ह्यूमन रेस रिक्वायर्ड अ ग्रेजुअल एजुकेशन बिफोर इन द फुलनेस ऑफ टाइम इट कुड बी एडमिटेड टू द ट्रूथ्स ऑफ क्रिश्चियनिटी. हिज पर्पस ऑल्सो सेम, ही वॉन्टेड टू स्प्रेड क्रिश्चियनिटी. All the fallacies of human reason had to be exhausted before the light of a high truth could meet with ready acceptance. The ancient religions of the world were but the milk of nature, which was in due time to be succeeded by the bread of life. The religion of Buddha has spread far beyond the limits of the Aryan world, and to our limited vision, it may seem to have retarded the advent of Christianity among a large portion of the human race. But in the sight of him with whom 1,000 years are but as one day, that religion, like the ancient religions of the world, may have but served to prepare the way of Christ. By helping through its very errors to strengthen and to deepen the ineradicable yearning of the human heart after the truth of God. Large number of Vedic hymns are childish in the extreme, tedious, low and commonplace. He was saying the Vedic hymns are childish. Eh? All acharyas were fools. Eh? And he is sitting in Germany and he is deciding what is childish and what is
right.
So in these letters, I will not go to the too much detail. If you want, you can see later on. Now we have compiled from authentic sources the letters of Max Müller. So he, it's very clear that they are called Indologists. They are called Indologists. So they used to learn Sanskrit and then they write volumes of books to prove that Vedas are mythology. In the beginning they appeared like a, you know, they wanted to propagate Vedic culture to all over the world. But in a wrong way. Wrong information. They wanted to propagate, yes. But what they propagated is wrong thing. Just like... So they wanted to change the history of it. They said, this is mythology? Okay. So then, it means that you don't know your history. So now we will write your history. How will you write? You don't know anything. No, we will do excavation, archaeological excavation. So this archaeological department, archaeology started in India. Historical research. We will write your history. Who are you? All early archaeological excavation were done by Britishers, if you go to the history of India. And they dated the history of India. If you read the history of India, no dates go beyond 3000 BC. Why? You know this reason? Why? Because according to Bible, earth is created 4000 BC. Bible batata hai ki earth is created 4000 BC at that moment. So 1000 saal laga hua thoda shetal jal hone mein. इसलिए अच्छा रहेगा 3000 देते हैं डेट, बढ़िया रहेगा ना. सूट बैठेगा बाइबल से. अनफॉर्चुनेटली डार्विन थ्योरी आने के बाद बाइबल का ही पत्ता साफ हो गया. डार्विन थ्योरी से 10,000 ईयर्स बैक ह्यूमन बीइंग केम इनटू एग्जिस्टेंस. सो द सेम क्रिश्चियंस दे रिजेक्टेड बाइबल आफ्टर डार्विन थ्योरी. We are once propagating Christianity all over the world. Same Christians, they rejected Bible in 1859 after Darwin gave this theory of origin of species. And then Christians lost their faith. Many churches were closed in America and Europe after this Darwin theory. Then you can say, now why Christianity is spreading now today again all over the world? People had lost their faith once upon a time. It's political reason. It's not religious reason. It's political reason. It's not that they have a great faith in Christianity, but they want to rule the world through religion, using sentiments. Where they know that we can amass people very easily on the sentiment of religion. So the same strategy is going on in India also. Today, in India, 5,000 Christian missionaries are working in India. 5,000. And billions of dollars are coming in India from Vatican City every year just to propagate Christianity. Last year, 34 lakh Hindus were converted into Christians in India. And they say, we are coming for help. If you are coming for help, then just help. Why you want to convert religion? Is there a necessity to convert religion to help you? Is there any necessity? Without converting your religion, I can't help you. If you are pure motivation to just help, then you help wherever people are, whatever are they doing. No, it's a game, political game. That's why you see two states, many states, around 6 or 7 states today in India, they are completely ruled by Christians. You can't enter, do anything. You go to northeast, they say India is a secular country. You go to northeast, you can't worship Durga and Kali and Shiva and Krishna and Ram. You can't. Even in India, you can't worship. Yes? In northeast, militants, Christian missionaries are running militants. And these militants doesn't allow. They are almost separated states. Almost they are out of India. Indian government doesn't have hold there. Now it's another state is Kerala. Kerala is almost Christian. Christian government. The next target is Andhra Pradesh. Yes.
And Hindu from
Alipur. Yeah. So you know the situation?
I don't know any Nathan who is Christian.
You know, certain states in North India, Hindu and Hindu go
badly. Yeah, certain states, but no
one is. It's not Christian. It's not Christian. It's funded by Christians. The Christian will not come and tell you. That is a Christian. Muslim or Christian, any difference? Christian will run, not directly. Just like they converted India, not directly. They play a game with brain. Why Christianity is spreading? You do worship Hindu there, and you see the difference? We have cases. Even in Kerala, many places. So the situation is that it's fact. You may not have seen, but you try to find out, go in detail. Because many times we may not see the exact picture also, even if we are here. Like you are in Delhi, but you know how many people are living in slums in Delhi? 50% population of Delhi lives in slum. It may not be that you know everything where you are living. When you try to know, then you will come to know. Now I have informed you, research. There is a fact behind. Anyway, even if you suppose accept that they are not directly, because you can say that directly we don't have such proofs. Even if you say, but this is a fact that Christians have, this is at least fact, this record says that Christians are changing, transforming the people, conversion is taking place, isn't it? Is it not a fact? It's a data, a statistic. Yeah, everywhere it is. So the political reason. So religious, so I was just discussing that how this East India Company, they worked on this. And then next step was that they established the English education system in India. Even today education system, what we are reading, is called Macaulay education system. Established by Macaulay in around 1850. And the Macaulay, he changed the earlier ancient education system, saying that this is mythology. Now if you want to get, now they connected education through job. If you want job, then you have to go through our education. And what you will read in education, what we are going to teach. Our history written by us, geography written by us, you know, the science written by us, sociology written by us, you know, guided by us. You have to do that. So then people started going through that. You want a degree? It's written that education behind giving Scottish Churches colleges in Calcutta established. The purpose behind that. I'll read you. He's writing. Alexander Duff founded the Scottish Churches College in Calcutta, which he envisioned as a headquarters for a great campaign against Hinduism. Duff sought to convert the Indians by enrolling them in English-run schools and colleges and placed emphasis on learning Christianity through the English language. Duff wrote, "While we rejoice that true literature and science are to be substituted in place of what is demonstrably false, we cannot but lament that no provision has been made for substituting the only true religion, Christianity, in place of the false religion which our literature and science will inevitably demolish. Of all the systems of false religion ever fabricated by the perverse ingenuity of fallen man, Hinduism is surely the most stupendous." So this was then what is. The motive was that to destroy. So that's how this mythology word got connected to Vedas, which is not actually the fact. Rather than the Vedic literature, the higher dimensional science, which only can be understood if we are open-minded. If you close your mind, then you can't understand Vedic literature. Well, Vedic literature deals with two departments of knowledge. Modern science deals with only what we perceive, the science which only we perceive, we can perceive. But Vedic literature is not like that. They also discuss it also constitutes the science which we can't perceive. So the science which we can't perceive, we say it is mythology. That's all. Which is actually not. It's a higher dimensional science. Just like you have a mathematics book, so first four chapters you are able to understand and solve. So you say this is nice, and another five chapters which you are not able to understand, this is mythology. No, you need to approach a proper spiritual master and go and learn. Bonafide guru, not bogus, fake guru. Understand the science of Vedic culture. So then you can understand. So then there are so many points on refuting this, and there have been so many researches, scientific verification of Vedic knowledge. Vedic knowledge is verified later on by many researches. Like, I'll show you some of the things. You all can come this side if you want to see. So we discuss these around 16 parts: Vedic chemistry, Vedic astronomy, Saraswati riverbed, Lord Rama's bridge, Ayurveda, Vedic cosmology, speed of light, Vedic mathematics, Vaimanik Shastra, myth of Aryan invasion, Dwarka city founded in ocean, Vedic science of music, yoga and meditation, Heliodorus column, Kurukshetra findings, plants of life. Now one point which I wanted to tell you, so what they did when they wanted to change the history of India, so they made a theory, which very famous theory, in the history book you can read, theory of Aryan invasion. You know about this theory? This theory is disproved today. It's not accepted. How? What they said? See, in your Veda there is a river mentioned Saraswati. Where is that Saraswati river? So therefore it is mythology. But we will go through this. Recently, 15 years back, the scientists have found the Saraswati river bed across the India. It has been found satellite image. It's a dried river. And it is in Vedas that when the Saraswati river dried, it's there. And they saw, where is Dwarka? In the ocean. So recently, the recent archaeological research, they found Dwarka city within the ocean. The remains of Dwarka city within the ocean. Professor S. R. Rao, he has done research. We have a video also, we will show you.
Samaj
Dwarka. Yes, Samaj Dwarka. Like that, there are many such proofs. And there are many such authentic scientific knowledge which is there in Vedas. If you say it is mythology, actually we are in mythology. How can you say yoga and meditation is mythology? Today the whole world can see the wonderful effect of Vedic literature, isn't it? Yoga and meditation. It is curing so many diseases. Ayurveda. The disease which can't be cured by modern, you know, medical science. It is very easily cured by Ayurveda. And no side effect. It's natural. Natural medicines. We'll go one by one. Lord Ramaj Setu found in Indian Ocean. So, American satellites, they had found a bridge between India and Sri Lanka. And they took the satellite image. They didn't know, the people who were doing that, they didn't know that in Ramayana it is mentioned, you know, about this. So they named it as Adam's Bridge. Yes. NASA subtle images of mysterious ancient bridge between India and Sri Lanka. Courtesy NASA Digital Image Collection. The recently discovered bridge, currently named as Adam's Bridge, made of chain of souls, 18 miles, 30 kilometers long, in the Park Strait between India and Sri Lanka, reveals a mystery behind it. The bridge's unique curvature and composition by age reveals that it is man-made bridge. The legends as well as the archaeological studies reveal that the first signs of human inhabitants in Sri Lanka date back to the primitive age, about 17,50,000 years ago. And the bridge's age is also almost equivalent. 17,50,000 years ago. Now, according to Ramayana, this is what they say, scientists, they have found the date of the bridge. Now let us discuss the Ramayana. What Ramayana says, the date of Lord Ram, when Lord Ram came, and where this, according to Ramayana, when this bridge was constructed. They said that it was in Treta Yuga, in between Treta Yuga, the middle of the Treta Yuga. So today is Kali Yuga. Kali Yuga has 5,000 years passed, according to Vedic literature. And Dwapar is 8,64,000 years, according to Vedic literature. So total how much it is? 8,69,000. And then Kali Yuga, and then this Treta Yuga. Treta Yuga's total date is 12,96,000 years. Total. So if you make half of it, how much is it? 6,500. So 8,70,000 plus 6,500, how much it is?
6,500,000.
How much it is total? Around 15 lakh. 15.5 lakh. So in that period, like, no? So it's not exactly in the middle, but somewhere around the middle in Treta Yuga. So this age is matching. 17,000 years ago. 17 lakh years ago. In this epic, there is a mentioning about a bridge which was built between Rameswaram, India and Sri Lankan coast under the supervision of dynamic and invincible figure called Rama, who is supposed to be the incarnation of the Supreme. This information may not be of much importance to the archaeologists who are interested in exploring the origins of man, but it is sure to open the spiritual gates of the people of the world who have come to know an ancient history linked to the Indian mythology. Now you see mythology linked here. You see? This is the bridge. You see the satellite image. You see? This is the bridge. And you see this, the closest point is this, isn't it? The bridge yahan pe nahi hai, jahan pe closest point hai. Bridge is here, where exactly it is mentioned. Agar bridge banana bhi hota to yahan bhi banate na. Sabse nazdeek hai. But wherever it is mentioned exactly Rameswaram, That is the place where bridge was constructed, and still it is today. And then from many angles we will see, another angle, you see. So clear. See? So is it mythology? Then Saraswati river bed, they have found this UC satellite image across India. They found, and all the archaeological sites, most of them have been found around the bank of the Saraswati river. These all, you see dots, they are the archaeological sites found by archaeological excavation. And this was the Saraswati river, which is the most powerful civilization according to Vedic culture. Finding of Saraswati river bed, evidence from many sources including that of archaeological remains associated with old rivers courses indicates that a major river stemming mainly from the same sources as the present Satluj flowed through northern Rajasthan, Bahawalpur and Sindh to the southeast of the present course of the Satluj and Indus in the 3rd to 2nd millennium BC. This river, known as the Saraswati in its upper course, at different times either joined the lower course of the Indus in Sindh or found its way independently into the Arabian Sea via run of Kutch. BBC News may be Ayat 29 June 2002. Through satellite photography, scientists have mapped the course of an enormous river that once flowed through the northwestern region of India. The images show that it was 8 km wide in places and that it is dried up 4000 years ago. Times of India may be aaya tha. Archaeological evidence bhi hai. I will not read all this in detail. You can go through later on if you want. Evidences from remote sensing and GIS. A remote sensing study of the Indian desert reveals numerous signatures of paleolithic channels in the form of curvilinear and Mendelian courses, which is identified by the tonal variations. The Saraswati river could be traced through these paleo channels as a migratory river. Its initial course flowed close to the Aravalli ranges and the successive six stages took west and northwesterly shifts till it coincided with the dry bed of the Ghagar river. In another detail, the satellite detail, it's technical. Then remains of Dwarka city. This is another finding. Marine archaeology has also been utilized in India off the coast of the ancient port city of Dwarka in Gujarat, uncovering further evidence in support of statements in Vedic scriptures. An entire submerged city at Dwarka, the ancient port city of Lord Krishna with its massive fort walls, piles, wharfs and jetty has been found in the ocean as described in the Mahabharata and other Vedic literature. Yes, slok hai. Niratitu janet tasmin sagaro makaralaya dwarkan ratna sampurnam jale naplavo yatada. Means that jal mein dub gaya tha ye. Jab Lord Krishna, when he departed from this earth, and the Dwarka city was again submerged into the ocean. So this is given in Mahabharata, that it is not continuing to exist on the land, it was submerged. And then based on this, they started searching for this city. And they had found, I will show you the video. So, I'll show you the video of Dwarka.
Once upon a time, an ancient Indian legend begins. There was a city called Dwarka, a city so wondrous and beautiful that Hindu scriptures describe it as a fairy tale kingdom. Prasad and Akshay and Navadir Jushta, Dwarka boasted 900,000 royal palaces, all constructed with crystal and silver, and plenteously decorated with huge emeralds. The city was filled with birds and bees flying about the parks and pleasure gardens. Ruling over this magical kingdom was the handsome, generous, and much adored Krishna, the Hindu god of devotion. Krishna is God, but he comes down on this earth and takes the form of a human being. He falls in love. He plays his flute. He fights with darkness, with demons. He gives good lessons to people. One day, Krishna is called upon to help his friends in a bloody family feud of greed and possession. A good versus evil. Is a demon and Goliath battle. Krishna and his five friends against 100 evil cousins. And its source, the Bible of the Hindu world, the Mahabharata, one of India's most revered scriptures. The Mahabharata also tells of Krishna's end, his city, the golden kingdom of Dwarka, swallowed by the sea and lost forever. Excavations off the west coast of India have led to what may be one of India's most amazing discoveries, as significant to the Hindus as finding Noah's Ark might be to the Christian world. Could the fictional account of Krishna's life be a record of actual events? And could these incredible underwater remains be what is left of the mythical kingdom of Dwarka? Find out when Mysteries of Modern Asia returns. Sea is a fishing town, home to 52,000 people. It shares the same name as the legendary magical kingdom described in the ancient Hindu scriptures. But the only similarity between the two today are the thousands of pilgrims who come here to worship Lord Krishna, the Hindu god of devotion. The tales of Krishna and his lost city were long thought to be a mythical legend, but a recent archaeological discovery may prove that Krishna's Dwarka actually lies beneath these very streets.
I took up the challenge to find out if really Dwarka existed.
Dr. S.R. Rao is one of India's most preeminent archaeologists. 20 years ago, he was called to the town of Dwarka to excavate this temple.
We came to remove a modern building which existed here because that was obstructing the view of the temple.
During what he thought would be a simple excavation, he came upon an amazing discovery. An ancient temple lying intact, just beneath the first one.
Then we started digging further deeper, not to know if there are earlier temples.
What he found was layer upon layer of temples, built one on top of the next. 3 millennia of history in just 100 feet of soil. But it was beneath the last temple that Rao came across an amazing find that would change his life forever. Shells, pottery shards, and iron artifacts. What appeared to be the remains of a city washed over by the sea. Rao immediately thought of the stories from his childhood. Could these be the remains of the lost city of Dwarka? The answers Rao now believed, lay in the pages of the ancient Hindu scriptures of the Mahabharata. Krishna's Dwarka is only one story in this legendary Hindu epic. Written in the ancient language of Sanskrit, the Mahabharata is the longest poem in the world, and to Hindus, as sacred as the Christian's own Bible. The story of Krishna ends with his kingdom, a city of Dwarka, sinking into the ocean. So, Rao headed for the sea. Rao began randomly searching areas close to the coast of modern-day Dwarka. At first, it proved harder than he had envisioned. Divers wrestled with the strong currents of the Arabian Sea and murky waters. But his efforts soon paid off. Not far off the coast of present-day Dwarka, Rao and the divers stumbled upon a discovery even greater than he had imagined.
On the fourth day, they found these blocks of stones used for construction.
70 feet beneath the waves lay the remains of what appeared to be an underwater metropolis. Massive sandstone walls, streets with cobbled stones, a drainage system, and a huge gate all pointed to a large city. Thousands of three old anchors, identical to those found in Cyprus and Syria from the same time period, implied a bustling port. Rao then followed the trail of ruins to an island located 19 miles out to sea.
The shore, and that was a small bit of the big part of fortification. And as we went further up, we came across that 150 meter long wall.
Rao's discoveries became a lifelong mission. Over the next 8 years, his excavations eventually uncovered the remains of a sprawling city of around 10,000 people.
There are many videos, but time kam hai, nahi dikha payenge. So, rahe Dwarka. This is the temple. Ye pura jameen ke andar ye mandir mila hai. Pura ye. Whole temple they have found inside the earth, excavated, the 100-foot temple. And ye seal mila hai, seal. So ki exactly Mahabharat mein iska detail mein varnan diya hua hai, is seal ka. Aise ki every citizen of Dwarka is to carry a seal of this side, this shape. Yeah, yes. Similarly, Kurukshetra ke Now we'll discuss about Vedic mathematics. Vedic mathematics sabko pata hi hai. You all may be knowing about this. Such a wonderful, you see here, everything. So many formulas are here. I will not go to detail. Ekadhiken purvena nikhilam nav tas charmam dasatah. These are formulas. This basis we can do calculation very fast. Just like example I will show you. But if you want to multiply 35 into 35, ekadhiken purvena. So you just don't have to calculate. 3 into 3 plus 1. एक अधिक कर दीजिए, दोनों को गुणा कीजिए और बाद में 25 लिख दीजिए. ऐसा वो 75 इंटू 75, तो 7 इंटू 8 हाउ मच 56 एंड में 25 लगा दीजिए, हो गया मल्टीप्लीकेशन. एंड सिमिलरली यू वांट टू मल्टीप्लाई 37 इंटू 33 है ना, तो आपको क्या करना 3 इंटू 4 एंड 7 इंटू 3. 3 into 4 how much? 12. 21. 12, 21. These are the formulas in Vedic mathematics. Hmm? 1 to 1 to 29, 21. 2 into 3, 6. And 9 to 1, 9. 6, 0, 9. So like that there are many wonders. Many wonders of mathematics in the Vedic literature. These are the other formulas, samuchya. Samuchya is called set theory. Lopasthapanabhyam bilokanam gudit samuchaya yavadunam tavaduni krita vargacha yuj. These are difficult concepts in mathematics. That's why Albert Einstein says, we owe a lot to the Indians who taught us how to count, without which no worthwhile scientific discovery could have been made. Abraham Seidenberg, an American historian of mathematics, said, ancient Egyptian, Babylonian and Greek geometrics derived from the mathematics recorded in the Sulba Sutra. Sulba Sutra is Vedic literature. It is India that gave us the ingenious method of expressing all numbers by 10 symbols, each receiving a value of position as well as an absolute value. A profound and important idea which appears so simple to us now that we ignore its true merit, for its very simplicity, the great ease which it has lent to all computations, puts our arithmetic in the first rank. Piero Simondi Laplace, Laplace के बारे में जानते होंगे हम लोग, फ्रेंच मैथमेटिशियन. He said, we shall appreciate the grandeur of this achievement the more when we remember that it escaped the genius of Archimedes and Apollonius, two of the greatest men of produced by antiquity. उनसे भी ज्यादा highest quality का science India में. Atomic physics. Heisenberg says, German physicist, after the conversations between about Indian philosophy, some of the ideas of quantum physics that had seemed so crazy suddenly made much more sense. Because his theory of quantum physics, he had given something which was appeared crazy, but he says when I read Vedic literature, it appeared more sense to me. But Vedic literature also explains like that. There are many things which for us it is crazy. Speed of light is given in Vedas. In Vedas, I said that with a deep respect, I bow to the sun who travels with the speed of 2,202 yojan in half a nimish. Speed of sun. Now, according to the scales, we will calculate modern. 1 yojan is 8 miles, and 1 nimish is 16 by 75 of a second. So total is 1,65,150 miles per second. 1 mile is 1,852 meters. So therefore total calculation is 3,06,000 kilometers per second, speed of light. So is it mythology? Now, another wonderful discovery by the NASA. NASA Sanskrit report. They say NASA article on Sanskrit in Artificial Intelligence magazine in spring of 1985, written by NASA researcher Rick Briggs. It says, modern scientists hail the ancient language of the gods as the only unambiguous natural language on the planet. Sanskrit language is the only unambiguous language. NASA, the most advanced research center in the world for cutting-edge technology, has discovered that the Sanskrit, the world's oldest spiritual language, is the only unambiguous spoken language on the planet. The discovery is of monumental significance. It is mind-boggling to consider that we have available to us a language which has been spoken for 4,000 to 7,000 years, that appears to be in every respect a perfect language designed for enlightened communication. The language itself has been universally recognized by those competent to form a judgment is one of the most magnificent, the most perfect and wonderful, sufficient. What is it? Anyway, this is sufficient. Sanskrit was the classical language of India, older than Hebrew and Latin. It is the oldest, most scientific, systematic language in the world. It became the language of all cultured people in India and in the countries that were influenced by India. The source of other languages like English and Sanskrit. Mother, in English, is mother. Peter, I have father. Brother, I have brother. Social, I have sister. Jyamiti, I have geometry. Trigonometry, I have trigonometry. Dwar, I have door. Ma, me. Naman, name. Smi, smile. Eka, equal. So it's magic, you see. The source is root is Sanskrit. Language. Sir William Jones, British Orientalist, says, the Sanskrit language, whatever be its antiquity, is of wonderful structure, more perfect than the Greek, more copious than the Latin, and more exactly defined than either. Pani's grammar has been evaluated from various points of view. After all these different evaluations, I think that the grammar merits asserting that it is one of the greatest monuments of human intelligence, an evaluation of Pani's contribution by Cardona. Then Ayurveda, another angle, you can see the Vedic literature. It's a science. Ayurveda is the building blocks of existence, earth, ether, air, fire, water and earth elements. And they study their unique qualities, the five elements are manifest in the body by three basic principles, known as the three doshas, vata, pitta and kapha. And if they are imbalanced, accordingly you will have different diseases. That is the basic principle of Ayurveda. And you see, physical features, body frame, अगर ऐसा है तो मतलब कि आप वात पित्त और कफ किस कैटेगरी में क्या होता है पूरा डिटेल में इसका डिस्क्रिप्शन है. इट्स नॉट माइथोलॉजी. सिमिलरली वैदिक एस्ट्रोनॉमी, देयर इज अ बुक रिटन बाय रिचर्ड थॉमसन, द कॉस्मोलॉजी ऑफ द भागवत पुराण, मिस्ट्रीज ऑफ द सेक्रेट यूनिवर्स. In that book, he has very detailed explained that how the Vedic literature is to explain the structure of the entire universe and various planets and stars. They knew everything. They didn't have telescope and all the instruments. So how did they know? Vedic astronomy, preparation of astronomical charts and Indian Vedic calendar, which very precisely calculates the dates of solar and lunar eclipses and other technical details. The astronomical instruments to measure the time has been installed in Delhi, Jantar Mantar and Jaipur, which accurately measure the time to 2 second accuracy. Jantar Mantar jo hai banaya hai, aap jaake dekh sakte ho Delhi mein, 2 second accuracy mein aapko time bata dega kya baj raha hai abhi, kitna time ho raha hai. Usko sunlight aisa banaya gaya hai structure, wahan pe sunlight ka position jo column pe hai uske hisab se aapko pata chalega kitna baj raha hai, time ho raha hai. So is it not science? It's science. There is Nakshatraja explained in this slokas. Similar Vedic cosmology, which explains the various planets and their distance, You'll see here, Surya Siddhanta is a cosmology, Vedic cosmology explained in Surya Siddhanta. It says that the distance of various planets, you know. So here it's explained that Mercury, Venus, Mars, Jupiter, Saturn, all these, you know, distance from Earth, how much. According to Surya Siddhanta, this is according to Surya Siddhanta, and this is according to Western calculation. See, so much matching, 0.75, 0.72. So how did they know? Not only this, the various planets, their period, kitne der mein revolve karte hain, revolution period. There, you see, moon, according to Surya Siddhanta, 27.322, according to Western, 27.32166. Mercury, 87.97 and 87.969. Venus, 224.6 to 224.7. Our Sun, 365.26, 365.257. So how did they know all this? Earth ka to theek hai, chalo, andaaz se maar diya. Baaki sare planets ka? This shows, even their diameters are given. Each planet diameter. Moon ka diameter bataya gaya hai, Surya Siddhanta mein 2160 miles. And Western diameter is 2400 miles. Mercury 3008. And Surya Siddhanta says 3100. Venus 4010. Surya Siddhanta 7560. Earth 8000, Surya Siddhanta says 7928. Mars 3771, and Surya Siddhanta says 4191. So it's matching. And somewhere there are differences also. So that's why well-known scientist Carl Sagan says, Vedic cosmology is the only one in which the time scales correspond to those of modern scientific cosmology. Vedic cosmology is the cosmogony which no European conception has ever surpassed, Nobel laureate Count Morris. Vedic cosmology is more ancient than those of the Greeks or Egyptians, and that the movements of the stars calculated 4,500 years ago does not differ even by a minute from the tables of today. 4500 वर्ष पहले जो कैलकुलेशन किया था वेदों में वो आज भी जो एक मिनट से भी डिफरेंस नहीं होता है उसमें सोलर इक्लिप्स और लूनर इक्लिप्स का तो इतने पहले किया हुआ कैलकुलेशन फ्रेंच एस्ट्रोनॉमर लीन क्लॉड बेली से द 90-foot टॉल एस्ट्रोनॉमिकल इंस्ट्रूमेंट नोन एज सम्राट यंत्र बिल्ट बाय द लर्नेड किंग सवाई जय सिंह ऑफ जयपुर मेजर स्टैंड टू विद इन 2 seconds पर डे. Then there is the myth of foreign invasion. This was a myth given by the Britishers. What they said? That no, you people are not from India. The Aryan jinhone civilization diya, ye aap log itna ghamand mat kijiye, aap log wo hamare hi taraf se aaye the. Like that. And to control the India, they gave this theory of foreign invasion, that aap log jo hai wo vastav mein itna proud hone ki zarurat nahi hai. आप लोग उधर से ही यूरोप और मिडिल ईस्ट इंडिया एशिया से आए हैं आप लोग तो उधर से ही हैं. सो जस्ट लाइक इफ यू गिव योर एनिमी टू राइट योर हिस्ट्री व्हाट इज गोइंग टू राइट वेरी ग्लोरियस थिंग अबाउट यू. आपका दुश्मन को बोलिए आप मेरे घर का इतिहास लिख दीजिए तो क्या लिखेगा. ये लिखेगा ना कि आपके दादा परदादा ने मेरे परदादा से 10 करोड़ रुपया लिया था जो आज तक नहीं चुकाया. आप चाहे तो चुका सकते हैं. इट्स नॉट डिफरेंस नहीं है वही तो बता रहे हैं. इफ द वेदर रिटन बाई आर्यंस इजंट इट इफ वेदर आर रिटन बाई आर्यंस वाई दे आर मेंशनिंग द होली प्लेसेज इन साउथ इंडिया होली रिवर्स इन साउथ इंडिया No, it's all speculation. And if they have come from Middle East or that side, then why there is no mention of any rivers from that side? But many places they have found the Krishna and Balram also. In Europe. And Heliodorus column? Heliodorus column there is a picture of Krishna and Balram. Many places they have found the temples. All over the world they are finding their political excavation there. Cambodia. Philippines, everywhere. So this how they have used it, you know. Ek proof kahi pe mila kuch thoda sa significance, usko leke pura conclude kar diya ki nahi udhar se aaya hai. Ah, itna proof mil raha hai ki nahi, Vedic culture existed all over the world. Usko ignore kar raha hai. Why? So there is a point, we are going to come to that point. How can, first of all, they said Aryan is a race. But this is contradictory. Aryan is not a race. Aryan is nowhere in the Vedas and other ancient Indian texts is the terms Aryan used to refer to a race. Aryan in Sanskrit means gentleman, it's not a race. Anybody who is a gentleman is called Aryan. So if you are not gentleman even in Aryan, you are not Aryan. So it's not a race. It is you, that's all about. This is the first thing. How can then Aryans and Dravidians be two separate races? The people of South India, whom the Aryan invasion theory says were the original natives, are not a race separate from the North Indians. They all belong to one and the same race, the ancient Indian Vedic race. This is because the language of both, the so-called Aryan and Dravidian people, have their roots in Sanskrit. Even Northern India's language, the root is in Sanskrit. Both worship the same gods. Both have the same epics. Both have same philosophies. Both have histories which date back to same time. So you can say that they have adopted. As we assume, this is also we are assuming, isn't it? But the proofs are saying that no, everything is common. Everything is common. So theory disproved. First, Aryan is not a race. Why don't any Dravidian folklore or ancient texts or sayings or stories or epics exist which talk about the so-called Aryan invasion? अगर द्रविडियन को धकेल दिया था नीचे तो द्रविडियन के कहीं पे तो कोई रिकॉर्ड होता ना कि हाँ मुझे हमें जितने एपिक्स हैं या द्रविड साउथ इंडिया में जितने एपिक्स हैं उसमें कहीं तो मेंशन रहता कि यहाँ पे अटैक हुआ था और हमें भगा दिया गया उधर से. नो वेयर यूल फाइंड सच मेंशन. इट्स बॉर्न फ्रॉम द माइंड ऑफ ब्रिटिशर्स, दैट्स ऑल. ऑल्सो व्हाई डू द वैदिक टेक्स्ट टॉक अबाउट लोकेशंस इन साउथ इंडिया? द रामायण महाभारत all talk about South Indian location, even below and beyond the mainland of India, into the Indian Ocean like Sri Lanka. Not only South India, they are also talking about Sri Lanka. No mention of Europe anywhere in Vedas. There is no mention of any location outside the mainland of India in any of Vedic texts. No European rivers, none of the Vedic texts talk about rivers outside India. Saraswati River, this is the death blow to the Aryan invasion theory. According to the Aryan invasion theory, the Aryans who invaded India in around 1500 BC and settled in the banks of Indus or Sindhu River in North India. But then now we have found that Saraswati River existed 3000 BC. And it disappeared 3000 BC. See, Vedic texts were written 1500 BC and in that there is mention of Saraswati River existing. Then how Saraswati River can disappear 3000 BC? 3000 BC and 1500 BC. How it is related? So this is the death blow to the Aryan invasion theory, and now it is not accepted by many of the historians, this theory. But phir bhi history books nahi hataya ja raha hai because of politics, political reasons. So we'll stop here. There are many more points, around another 8-10 points. Vaimanik Shastra is another science, aeroplanes, science of aeroplanes, aeronautical science, explained in Vedic literatures. This is the last point I'll discuss, 2 minutes, just existence of ancient signs on various aeroplanes and vimanas. The detail is explained in the Bhaimani Shastra purportedly written by Maharshi Bhardwaj in the 4th century BC. According to this, there are 32 secrets to piloting a viman. Mantrik, Tantrik and Gud, three types of viman. Mantrik, the invoking of mantras, which will permit one to achieve certain spiritual and hypnotic powers so that he can construct aeroplanes which cannot be destroyed. That is called Mantrik. And then Tantrik, by acquiring some of the Tantrik powers, one may endow his aircraft with those same powers. And then Gudha, the secret permits the pilot to make his viman invisible to his enemy. Adrishya accomplishes the same purpose by attracting the force of the ethereal flow in the sky. And in NASA they are doing research on this Vaimanika Shastra. And now that they are getting this concept that okay, we can also means that produce. We can produce such aeroplanes which can be invisible. These concepts are coming from the Vaimanika Shastra. They are bringing. And now they are working on those concepts to produce such aeroplanes which are invisible. Kaliyuga Prabhav, it mentioned in Vedas that many part of the Vedic knowledge, fear of misuse, in Kaliyuga there will be degradation, people will misuse such powers, therefore it degrades gradually. And in that region the people's faith will go down because of that. So secrets of Bhiman, there are 32 secrets you see here. Mantrik, Tantrik, Kritika, Antaral, Gul, Drishya, Adrishya, Paroksh, Aparoksh, Sankoch, Vistir, Virup, Karan, Rupantar, Surup, and sabka detail mein varnan hai. Now how to construct that? Classification via Viman ka, Vedic scientist of aviation technology, other scientists who have given. 25 Vimanas of Kritika Viman, category of the current Yuga. Is Yuga mein 25 prakar ki Viman. Baki sare Viman dusre Yuga ke liye, lekin for this age, there are 25 types of Vimanas. Uske detail hai. Now we'll go one by one. This is Sakun Viman. Sakun Viman ka structure diya hua hai. Kaise banana hai? How to construct? What are the various proportions of various parts? Cross sections and everything is in detail. Then this is Sundar Viman. And Rukma Viman. It can travel 250 miles in 24 minutes. 725 miles per hour. Rukma Viman. Tripur Viman. Tripur is the last of the representative Vimanas discussed in the text. It has two unique features. It is three in one craft. And also a solar powered vehicle. Tripur means three-story or tires. This concept is brought in the form of a three-tire construction. The first tire is for operation on land. The second one for operation on water and inside water. And the third for flying in air. So multi-purpose. So people had these concepts. As an integral unit of three tires, the craft is designed to be a flying machine. So flying machine bataya gaya hai. So we'll stop here. So who says that if somebody says that Vedas are mythology, actually he is foolish. He is a myth. He doesn't know. And most of the people who say like that Vedas are mythology, they have not gone through it properly. Okay. So Rig Veda mentions metals like gold, copper, silver and bronze. A golden earring and necklace are mentioned thus, Hiranyakarnam Mani Grivam. Shukla Yajurved speaks of tin and lead also. Then Atharved compares the color of the universal power with that of metals. His flesh has the color of siam, iron. Blood has the color of loha, copper. And totally he has the color of tin and has the smell of lead. So color of siam. So this is Krishna, about Krishna, you see, Atharved me, color of Shyam. The technique for metallurgical line presented in Chandogya Upanishad is like this. One would join gold with the help of borax, silver with gold, tin with silver, lead with tin, copper with the help of lead, and timber with copper and leather. According to N. Gopalkrishnan, this technique is used till now for reducing the melting point of the metals to be alloyed. And then, marvels of Vedic chemistry. The metal workers in India had made complicated idols from bronze and copper. The iron pillar of Kutub near Delhi. Have you seen it? Iron pillar? No, you have seen it. Which weighs 10 tons. 10 tons of iron pillar. And is 1500 years old. Certain iron beams in the temples of Puri and Konark in Odisha and Rajasthan prove the advancement of metallurgy in India. Now, today science can't produce an iron pillar which will last for 1500 without rusting. And it is open air, no rusting. So pure iron. And that also, single block of 10 ton. Single block iron pillar of 10 ton. Uspe Nadir Shah ne attack kiya tha. Usko todne ka prayas kiya. Nahi toota. And it is in Delhi, you can go and see. So how they could produce such a pure iron without chemical understanding, chemistry? There was chemistry. The portion of Sushruta Samhita which explained the preparation of use of alkalis occupies a proper prominent place in Indian medical chemistry. It is said that alkalis were used to clean surgical instruments which were used to cut the diseased parts of human body. The term Naksharao itself means that which removes away the affected parts of the body. Plates of iron, silver and gold were dipped in alkaline liquids before mixing with medicines. Sushrut classifies alkalis into mridu, tiksha and madhyam. He gives the preparation of each category. So chemistries, these are the few glimpses which we have selected. And then there are many other modern researches on Vedas. We have explained by Mani Shastra. Then facts about India. This is the last part. India never invaded any country in the last 10,000 years of history. This is one of the greatness of the country. Why we don't have to invade? Because we don't need it from anybody. We are rich. Who invades others who doesn't have something? They come to beg. Big mangne aate hain India, churane aate hain. But India never goes anywhere. Why? Because it is rich. In the richest country of the world. India invented the number system. Zero was invented by Aryabhatta. The world's first university was established in Takshila in 700 BC. Takshila University. More than 10,500 students from all over the world studied more than 60 subjects in that university. The University of Nalanda built in the 4th century BC was one of the greatest achievements of ancient India in the field of education. Sanskrit is the mother of all European languages. Sanskrit is the most suitable language for computer software. A report in Forbes magazine, July 1987. Most suitable language for software industry. Ayurveda is the earliest school of medicine known to humans. Charak, the father of medicine, consulted Ayurveda 2500 years ago. Today Ayurveda is fast regaining its rightful place in our civilization. Although modern images of India often show poverty and lack of development, India was the richest country on earth until the time of British invasion. In the early 17th century, Christopher Columbus was attracted by India's wealth. The art of navigation was born in River Sindh 6,000 years ago. Floating technique Archimedes ke baad aaya. No, it was already there. The very word navigation is derived from Sanskrit word navgati. Is navigation word aaya hai navgati se, nav ki gati. You understand? The word navy is also derived from Sanskrit nav. Nav se navy aaya. Bhaskaracharya calculated the time taken by the Earth to orbit the Sun hundreds of years before the astronomer is smart. Time taken by Earth to orbit the Sun, 365.2587564 days. 5th century mein calculate karke bataya. To so much many disciplines. The value of pi was first calculated by Bodhayan, and he explained the concept of what is known as the Pythagorean theorem. He discovered this in the 6th century, long before the European mathematicians. Algebra, trigonometry and calculus came from India. Quadratic equations were Sridharacharya in the 11th century. The largest numbers the Greeks and the Romans used were 10 to the power 6, whereas Hindus used numbers as big as 10 to the power 53. With a specific names as early as 5000 BC during the Vedic period. Even today the largest inch number is Terra. As big Terra, the largest inch number is 10 to the power 12. Yes. But Vedic people, they used to 10 to the power 53. Ahatak number. According to Geometrical Institute of America, up until 1896, India was the only source for diamonds to the world. Chess was invented in India. The place value system, the decimal system, was developed in India in 100 BC. Sushrut is the father of surgery. That was the surgery nahi tha India. Sushrut is the father of surgery. 2600 years ago, he and health scientists of his time conducted complicated surgeries like cesareans, cataract, artificial limbs, fracture, urinary stones, and even plastic surgery and even brain surgery. Use of anesthesia was well known in ancient India. Over 125 surgical equipment were used. Deep knowledge of anatomy, physiology, etiology, embryology, digestion, metabolism, genetics and immunity is also found in many texts. Although modern images and descriptions of India often show poverty, garibi dikhata hai, India was one of the richest country till the time of British in the early 17th century. Aur kitna yahan se dhan loot ke le gaye hain, iski girti nahi hai. The messenger of peace and prosperity, India, Hu Xi, former ambassador of China in USA. India conquered and dominated China culturally for 20 centuries without ever having to send a single soldier across our border. Ek soldier bina bheje hue China ko 2000 varsh tak culturally control kiya India ne. Glory of Vedic wisdom, the other people, Francois Jacolite, the president of the court in Chandranagar. In point of authenticity, the Vedas have incontestable precedence over the most ancient records. These holy books, which according to the Brahmins contain the revealed word of God, were honored in India long before Persia, Asia Minor, Egypt and Europe were colonized or inhabited. This is Thoreau, American thinker. Whenever I have read any part of the Vedas, I have felt that some unearthly and unknown light illuminated me. In the great teaching of the Vedas, there is no touch of sectarianism. Vedas doesn't talk about sectarianism. It is of all ages, climes and nationalities, and you'll never find that Vedas are for Indians or Hindus or for this and that. No, it is for everyone, manusya. Everywhere there is word, manusya, used. So this is the most sectarian, most secular religion. Glory of Ramayana is explained by Louis Riel. Go little fast. Gita, Hermann Hesse says, the marvel of the Bhagavad Gita is its truly beautiful revelation of life's wisdom, which enables philosophy to blossom into religion. In the great book of India, the Bhagavad Gita, an empire spoke to us, nothing small or unworthy, but large, serene, consistent, the voice of an old intelligence, which in another age and climate had pondered and thus disposed of the questions that exercise us. Ralph Waldo Emerson, eminent American thinker. It is already becoming clear that a chapter which had a Western beginning will have to have an Indian ending. If it is not to end in the self-destruction of the human race. You understand this? Western beginning, Indian ending. Agar sab kuch barbaad nahi hona hai to. At this supremely dangerous moment in history, the only way of salvation for mankind is the Indian way. This is Dr. Arnold Toynbee, British historian, says. But there is also facts about India. A lamentable, unfortunate but harsh reality. Lamentable, unfortunate but harsh reality. What is that?
You can read. Jor se padhiye.
It is extremely lamentable that some modern day Indian Sanskrit scholars continue to glorify such European Indologists as unbiased students of Sanskrit literature whose sole aim was to acquire knowledge for its own sake. The above facts in this essay show very clearly the true motivations of these so-called pioneers of Indological
studies. So true motives, kya tha? Humne aapko discuss kiya. We are discussing the summary. Now, however, what is even more lamentable? Unka motive galat tha, lekin unko logon ne badai karte hain, dekho. India mein, ki there are great well-wishers. Then, however, what is even more lamentable is that the dream of Macaulay has come true. His vision of creating a caste of brown sahibs means that has become a reality. Nowadays, while the Western world turns its face towards Indian philosophy for the answer to life's complexities, the greatest adversaries of Vedic culture are the Indians themselves. The secular politicians, the journalists, the educationalists, in fact the whole westernized cream of India. And what is even more paradoxical is that most of them are supposedly Hindus. Upon gaining independence, such people denied India its true identity by retaining the British education and judicial system, without trying to adapt it to the unique Indian mentality and psychology. A wake-up call. So now, jag jaiye. A wake-up call. In the realm of entertainment, India produces more films than any country in the world. Since the British left India, Indian dress code has also changed considerably. Indian men wear Western trousers and shirts. If they wear something traditional, they are thought of as old-fashioned. Apne hi desh mein bidesi. If you follow your own culture, like somebody, if you wear dhoti kurta and you go to your Delhi University, people will look at you strangely. Why? Your father of the nation, Mahatma Gandhi, is considering what he was wearing. You see how much transformation has taken place? In essence, the youth of India today are taught to be ashamed of being Indian. अगर आप इंडियन वे ऑफ लाइफ स्टाइल जीते हो तो आपको है ना शर्म आती है कि नहीं. ऐसी सिचुएशन क्रिएट किया गया है. यू प्रैक्टिस योर ओन कल्चर, योर ओन ट्रेडिशंस, यू विल बी यू नो क्रिटिसाइज्ड. दे आर एशेम्ड ऑफ देयर रिलीजन एंड द एथिक्स गिवन बाय देयर फोर फादर्स. दे हैव बीन मेड टू बिलीव दैट एम्बरेसिंग वेस्टर्नाइजेशन इज द ओनली वे दे कैन प्रोग्रेस इन लाइफ. In this way, the British are still masters of India, and the proselytizing Christian ideologies have won the day. Until India wakes up to her mistake and strives to rediscover her spiritual heritage, she will continue to produce brown sahibs and will remain under the yoke of the ghosts of Macaulay and the British education system. So we will have to stop this producing brown sahibs. And Delhi University is one of the great sources of this. Mark Twain said, India is the cradle of the human race, the birthplace of human speech, the mother of history, the grandmother of legend, and the great grandmother of tradition. Our most valuable and most instructive materials in the history of man are treasured up in India only. And you are in that India. And we are looking towards West. What a shame. So we should preserve, promote and protect our own culture, our own heritage, isn't it? Whole world is preserving their own culture, traditions, and not they're preserving, they're promoting. And we have the best wisdom, best culture and best spiritual philosophy in the world. But we are saying it is mythology. So we'll stop here. Okay, one more slide. This Louis Francois Jacquelet, president of the court in Chandranagar, he says, and then India appears to me in all the living power of her originality. I traced her progress in the expansion of her enlightenment over the world. I saw her giving her laws, her customs, her moral, her religion to Egypt, to Persia, to Greece and Rome. I saw Gemini and Vedvyas precede Socrates and Plato, and Krishna, the son of the Virgin Devaki, in Sanskrit by God, precede the son of the Virgin of Bethlehem, Jesus Christ. So all glories to Vedas. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So anyone has any question? And this is what I have shown is more of superficial, only what we can perceive. The deep science of Vedas which we can perceive only after realization, practice of yoga and meditation, uske bare mein to aapko bataya hi nahi hai. That is a different realm, complete different science. Uske bare mein to vyakti tabhi samajh sakta hai jab spiritual practice karega. तो इसलिए हमें मैंने आपको डिवाइन में बात नहीं किया कुछ भी. वट एवर आई हैव टॉक्ड इज व्हाट वी कैन सी, लाइक केमिस्ट्री के बारे में भी व्हाट वी कैन सी, बट केमिस्ट्री वाज मच हायर देन दिस. सो मेनी थिंग्स विल स्टॉप हियर. एनी वन ऑफ यू हैव एनी क्वेश्चन? वन क्वेश्चन विल टेक बिफोर वी फिनिश. 5 मिनट्स कीर्तन टू रिफ्रेश. इसका रीजन वही था कि इन इंडिया व्हेन द एक्सप्लॉयटेशन वाज टेकिंग प्लेस सो द पीपल डिड नॉट फॉलो, दे स्टार्टेड देयर ओन रिलीजन. इफ यू एक्सप्लॉयट देन व्हाई पीपल, जस्ट लाइक नक्सलिज्म, दे डोंट फॉलो द गवर्नमेंट. व्हाई? बिकॉज गवर्नमेंट इज नॉट एबल टू टेक केयर ऑफ देम. Today, why people are adopting Christianity, tribesmen? Because they are not being taken care of. They are neglected since centuries by the Brahmanas. So they don't have any value for the Sanatana Dharma. The Dharma which exploits, Dharma means it teaches to love, isn't it? But if people doesn't feel love, then why they should follow that Dharma? So actually divine personalities appeared and they created different paths because Vedic paths were misused. अब तो कई बोगस भी हैं. पहले तो genuine personality, divine personality used to appear. But nowadays ये तो दुकान बन गया है, दुकान खोलना, business हो गया है. पहले business नहीं था. Earlier ancient religions, even Sikhism or anything you see, it was based on true devotion. It was based on divinity. Even Buddhism. But today it's like a shop. And naya shop khulna hai. Naya business ban gaya hai. Number of followers.
Islam mein hai ki Hindu dharma mein aadu santosam param sukham.
हिंदू धर्म में नहीं है ऐसा आत्मसंतोष परम सुख में।
सही है, मतलब पॉजिटिव है तुम व्याख्या किया जाए, मतलब अपने क्षमता के अनुसार मेहनत करिए, इसके बाद जो मिले उसमें संतोष करना पड़ेगा। अगर आप दूसरे तुलना करके अपना जो कहाना कोई फायदा नहीं है, जो इस्लाम है भाई वहाँ धर्म नीति भाई अपने धर्म को फैलाया जाए।
नो इट्स नॉट लाइक दैट, दैट्स व्हाट आई एम टेलिंग दैट वी हैव नॉट अंडरस्टूड वैदिक शिक्षण प्रॉपरली, उसको हम गलत जगह पे अप्लाई कर रहे हैं। जो कंटेंटमेंट का प्रिंसिपल आपने बताया दैट इज अप्लाई टू रॉन्ग प्लेस। भगवद गीता में कृष्णा से डिफरेंट लास्ट श्लोक ऑफ भगवद गीता से द वन हु प्रीचेज दिस मैसेज टू अदर्स देर इज नो वन मोर डियर देन हिम टू मी, वन ऑफ द लास्ट श्लोक ऑफ भगवदगीता कृष्णा से। जो इसका प्रचार करता है उससे न तो प्रिय कोई हुआ है और न कोई होगा मुझे। कंटेंटमेंट इन द सेंस दैट मटेरियल एक्विजिशंस बट नॉट दी, एंड इंडिया डजंट से दैट इस्लाम द वैदिक ट्रेडिशन डजंट से दैट इस्लाम इज रॉन्ग, यू अंडरस्टैंड माय पॉइंट, और क्रिश्चियनिटी इज रॉन्ग। इट सेज दैट दे आर राइट ऑन देयर प्लेटफॉर्म, दैट्स व्हाट इट सेज। बिकॉज just like a child in the second class, class 2 child, he is not wrong. If you tell him I am solving Laplace transform, he may say, you know, there is no symbols which I use, you are using different symbols, you are not doing mathematics. No, I am solving mathematics. But the person who is in higher in the mathematics, he knows that this child is child. He is also right. And when child solves 2 plus 2, he gets 100% marks. Isn't it? And when you solve complicated equations, still you get 80% marks. Why? Does it mean that he gets more marks than you? He is more intelligent than you? No. On his level, he is perfect. So similarly, Vedic scripture says that according to the time, place and circumstance, the divine personalities appeared on the earth and they preached different kind of, according to the different kind of religion and principles, according to the capacity of the person to digest the truth. If you tell somebody is, you know, second class 2 child, if you tell him you solve this Laplace transform, to kya hoga usko? सॉल्व तो वैसे भी नहीं कर पाएगा, वो और डर जाएगा, अरे फिर कभी वो मैथमेटिक्स किताब छुएगा ही नहीं। सो टू अवॉइड दैट देयर इज अ प्रोसेस दैट उसको बोलते हैं 2 + 2 कितना होता है, बोलता है 4, ठीक है तुम 100% मार्क्स, बड़ा खुश हो जाता है, बहुत बढ़िया सब्जेक्ट है और पढ़ना चाहिए, फिर देन थोड़ा सा डिफिकल्ट, देन लिटिल डिफिकल्ट, लाइक दैट। तो इफ यू गो डीपली इन टू ऑल द रिलीजियंस without unbiased, you'll understand that all religion teaches the same principle. Externals are different according to the time, place and circumstance, but the principles, underlying principles are same. Obedience to God's law, all religions preach, isn't it? All religion preaches that we have to be obedient to God. Bhagavad Gita says same thing. सर्वधर्मान परित्यज्य माम एकम शरणम व्रज अहम ताम सर्व अभिमोक्षिष्यामि वासुदेव। कुरान ऑल्सो सेज द सेम, यू हैव टू टेक सरेंडर टू अल्लाह,
हिज विल। वाली बात है जैसे इस्लाम साम नहीं में मीट खाते हैं, मांस खाते हैं, इस तरह कोई पाप की भाव नहीं आते कि हम गलत कर रहे हैं। हिंदू धर्म में एक भाई मांस खाना है तरह से,
यस, सो देयर इज अ रीजन फॉर दैट। इन डिटेल वी डिस्कस इन 6th सेशन, दिस टॉपिक इज इफ गॉड इज वन वॉइस ऑफ एनी रिलीजन, that is a topic itself, the last session. Next session will take, then next last session is this only. But in brief I'll tell you, even in Islam meat eating is not allowed. If you study Islam very carefully, it is not encouraged. It is allowed but it is not encouraged. Like if you go to Makkah, Makkah, within the periphery of Makkah, meat eating is not prohibited. You can't eat meat in the within the boundary of Makkah. You can't kill any animals there. It is written in Quran, 5th chapter. 5th chapter, first 5 slogans clearly, and that is the rule today also. So therefore they eat before Makkah, they eat nicely before entering into the Makkah. Now if it's even a little intelligent person is there, he can understand that Makkah is a holy place. So if meat eating is a nice thing, then why it is stopped? Holy place pe to acche karya hone chahiye na. Isn't it? Aap bataiye. Agar holy place pe to sare acche acche karya chunke karne chahiye. And if meat eating is so nice place, animal killing is so nice place, then why it is not allowed in Makkah? That is the question. Even wars are not allowed in Makkah, you know. Fightings are not allowed in Makkah. Even Prophet Muhammad, when he attacked on Quraysh, Quraysh were the residents of Makkah, and Prophet was driven away to Medina from Makkah. So when he attacked on Makkah from Medina, he was also not allowed to enter into the Makkah by Allah. It is written. Because Allah did not encourage violence. It is written. But then he prayed to Allah that this is the first and last war in Makkah. Please allow us so that we can expand your glories. So on that basis he was allowed. Even Makkah, killing, violence is not allowed. No religion teaches killing and violence. It is done sometimes for the cause of religious principles, to bring goodness in the world. Just like Krishna also says, you kill, isn't it? But what is the reason? To kill miscreants, not the good people, not the innocent people. He says, paritranaya sadhunam vinashaya cha duskritam. दुष्कृतान का मतलब ये नहीं कि जो हिंदू है उनको मार दो, नहीं, परितराणाय हिंदू नाम एंड विनाशाय च मुस्लिम, नहीं बोल रहे हैं. दुष्ट हो सकता है, मुस्लिम भी दुष्ट हो सकता है, हिंदू भी दुष्ट हो सकता है. यू अंडरस्टैंड माय पॉइंट? दिस इज द व्यू पॉइंट, दिस इज द मीनिंग ऑफ जिहाद और व्हाट एवर यू से. सो वी हैव टू अंडरस्टैंड इट इन ए प्रॉपर सेंस, अदरवाइज गॉड नेवर नेवर can sanction the hatred. It's creation of their own mind. And actually in the beginning it was like that. Later on it got perverted. So we'll stop here and detail we'll discuss about religions, how there are various religions. Thank you very much for your patient hearing. We'll have 5 minutes kirtan. We are not Hindi or English. We speak in the language where people can understand. If you are not comfortable, I will speak in Hindi. कोई दिक्कत नहीं, मुझे कोई दिक्कत नहीं है.
मुझे लगता है कि आध्यात्मिक कामों या भाव के लिए हिंदी ज्यादा सक्षम है.
डिपेंड करता है. अब आप कोई व्यक्ति हिंदी इंग्लिश जानता है तो उसको आप हिंदी में बोलोगे तो आध्यात्मिक भाव नहीं आएंगे उसमें.
वैदिक संस्कृति की बात करते हैं तो
वैदिक संस्कृति इज संस्कृत, नॉट इन हिंदी. इफ आई स्पीक इन संस्कृत कैन यू अंडरस्टैंड, विल यू डेवलप भावा? द पॉइंट इज दैट इन विच लैंग्वेज वी अंडरस्टैंड, दैट इज अ सुटेबल लैंग्वेज फॉर एनीथिंग. जो जिस लैंग्वेज में हम समझ हैं वही लैंग्वेज अच्छा है ना? तो हम प्रयास कर रहे हैं कि पावर पॉइंट सारा हिंदी में बनाए, क्योंकि सॉफ्टवेयर ही ऐसा है. अब हिंदी में इंग्लिश में पढ़े उसको हिंदी में ट्रांसलेट करें.